gospel will overcome. In a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun, where darkness is veiled, the light of the sun.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day, each Friday and Saturday at 11:30 and each Sunday at noon. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
All right, welcome into The Dean's List today. We're calling God's people to think and to think biblically and simply trying to advance the conversation on a number of issues in our culture. Transgender teen gets South Carolina to change driver's license policy. That's the title of a news story that came out just a few days ago. This from Reuters. Let me read the first paragraph or two. South Carolina's Motor Vehicles Agency will change its driver's license photo policy as part of a settlement reached with a transgender teenager who was required to remove her makeup for her picture last year, lawyers said on Wednesday. Chase Culpepper, 17, accused the State Department of Motor Vehicles of sex discrimination and violating her free speech rights in a lawsuit filed in federal court in September. Now, obviously, the article goes on to explain what's going on here in South Carolina. This is near and dear to me in a very real sense, as I'm broadcasting from South Carolina. But what we have here is a young man who obviously wants to be a woman for whatever the reason, and he's now transgendered and used to have the appearance of a female and still went by male, pronouns. And now, of course, this young man has sort of made the transition a little bit further. He wants to be referred to by female pronouns, wants to be referred to as a her, and wants the picture on his driver's license to reflect the way in which he wants to be identified. In his words, the way he normally looks, which is as a female. Now, again, just to recap briefly, went in for a driver's license some time back, and he was required to remove mascara and makeup and things like that to have his picture taken. They said he had to look like a male. He is a male. And, of course, filed the lawsuit, and now South Carolina has said, okay, you can come and have your photo retaken, and you can look like a female if you like. Now, obviously, there's a lot of discussion about this particular issue. I haven't heard a whole lot, but I know there's a lot out there. I've heard some. And, you know, a lot of folks are asking the question, well, why in the world did the state settle? Why did the state cave? And some people are saying, well, you know, it's the whole gay and lesbian, transgendered, et cetera, agenda, and they caved out of fear. And you know what? That might be true. It might be true, especially here in South Carolina. I don't know. There certainly is a lot of pressure on our culture and the entities and the agencies and, you know, everything else in our culture. There's a lot of pressure to cave into a particular agenda. And one of the things, obviously, as Christians that we can't cave on is whether or not the homosexual lifestyle, for example, is sin, or whether or not it's sin for someone to want to change their gender. Obviously, God is the one who has created us. God is the one who has made us. The Bible says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. He's made us male and female, and if God makes you a male, then that's what you are. And if you want to be a female, well, obviously, you are out of step with God's will for you. Now, I know there are a lot of folk who don't want to hear that. I'm not trying to be ugly about it, not trying to discriminate, not trying to say anything over the top, other than, very simply, God's word is our authority. You know, if we didn't have a source of authority outside of ourselves, well, then we'd have billions of opinions on everything under the sun. I mean, we have billions of people on the earth. And the reality is that we all have opinions, and we all have preferences, and we all have fears, and we all have desires and hopes and you know, on and on we could go. But when it comes to the issue of truth, when it comes to the issue of ultimate reality, we have to have a source of authority outside of ourselves. And, of course, that's God and His Word, and He tells us what's right and what's wrong. We'd all disagree on what's right and what's wrong if we didn't have God's Word. Now, there are some things that most people throughout history and most people across the world see as right and wrong, and that's because we're all created in the image of God. But on those things with which we disagree, on those things we disagree with one another, well, we have to have the Lord tell us what's right and what's wrong. And so, as Christians, we can't cave on that particular issue. But here's a question for you. When it comes to the issue of someone who is a male who says, well, I want to be identified as a female, well, I think that's morally wrong. Well, I think that individual's out of step with God. Do I have the right to say you can't do that? And obviously, I think when you come to the Scriptures, one of the things that's so mind-blowing, it's so radical even for Christians to think about, is that in a civil society that's not a theocratic society, in other words, it's not ancient Israel that was in a theocratic relationship with God, in a society where you got all kinds of people with different religions and values, we want to try to persuade everyone that there's only one true and living God. We want to hasten to say that. We want to try to preach the gospel to everyone. We don't force it. We don't coerce it. So don't misunderstand where I'm coming from. But in a society that's not the church, it's not ancient Israel, don't we value freedom? Don't we value liberty? Well, of course we do. And that's why the founding fathers set up a lot of checks and balances. And that's why we have a Declaration of Independence written the way it was, and a Constitution written the way it was. These documents are not perfect, but we have strayed far from these documents in contemporary society here in America. But the real point is that the freedom and the liberty, synonymous, those things, that issue, freedom that the documents, the founders are trying to preserve, rooted in a biblical worldview. I've said this before, I'll say it again. So the issue in a civil society where we all have different opinions is, okay, I'm going to try to persuade you that, you know, you might be wrong on this particular issue, but I'm not going to force you. So I don't like, you know, a male who wants to be a female, in the sense I don't like it that that's what they want to do. Love the individual, respect the individual, but I don't like what they're trying to do. But neither do I want to say you can't do that. Now, I know that's not what we're talking about here, but let me just ask you this. What right does the government have to tell anybody that they can't look how they normally look on a driver's license? And you say, well, now you're caving to the whole gay agenda. Well, it's not in my nature to cave on things. Not that I can't be weak from time to time. Not that I'm naturally strong. But I'm convicted about what I believe. You ought to be convicted about what you believe. And as Christians, what we believe needs to be informed by Scripture. And so I'm simply asking the question, in a pluralistic civil society, what right does the government have to tell me that I can't look like I want to look on my driver's license? Or are we going to say you can't wear a wig? You know, some woman who's worn a wig now for 20 years and everybody thinks she's got long blonde hair, she's going to have to take that wig off and be exposed there in a particular way on her driver's license? Is that what we're saying? We're going to make Dolly Parton change her appearance, you know, so she can have her driver's license picture taken? Here's the other issue. In South Carolina, since 2008, it doesn't really matter what you look like on your driver's license picture. We have facial recognition technology. So you can do whatever you want to do, and they're still going to know who you are. So, you know, did the state cave out of fear? Maybe so. Maybe so. But maybe they also knew that it really didn't matter because they got the technology. I mean, what does that technology mean? Now, that's a troubling thought. What does that technology mean? Well, it means that, you know, it used to be that the government didn't have my fingerprints. They still don't. I've never committed a crime. I've never been fingerprinted. Don't plan on being fingerprinted. You know, I have, you know, my right to privacy. But the problem is, you know, when you commit a crime, well, then they fingerprint you, and now you're in the database. Well, they don't have to fingerprint me anymore. They've got my driver's license. Facial recognition is just as good as a fingerprint. Well, this is a problem. This is an issue, and this is part of why I talk about these things a lot. I'm not just out here barking and saying, okay, here's what I want. You know, when I talk about freedom, it's not because I'm being selfish. I don't want my rights infringed upon, but that's not my main issue. My main issue is that when we as Christians speak to this culture, we need to be speaking the truth, the whole truth. We need to proclaim the gospel, and we need to proclaim how the gospel applies to the civil society in which we live. And so the issue in a civil society is, I want this person over here to be free just like I want myself to be free. And here's the problem. There's so many times when we Christians have imposed our values on others. That's why a lot of folk are mad at us. And that's why the gospel is hindered sometimes. We can't even get to the gospel because folk don't want to hear us because they have this caricatured idea of who we are. Because all we're doing a lot of the time is trying to keep them by law, by the government, from doing what they want to do. We're trying to legislate our values on them. What we really need to be doing is not using the government to try to conform people to a lifestyle that we want people to conform to. What we want to do is preach the gospel so that the Holy Spirit will cause them to conform to the right lifestyle. And those are two very different things. You try to conform someone to a righteous lifestyle through force, through coercion, through law, through the government, by nature, they're going to react, they're going to rebel, and they're going to hate you for it. Now, I don't like people telling me what my values should be. Certainly, I don't like people imposing law on me if I think it's a ridiculous law. Why should the government tell me that I have to wear a seatbelt? Why should the government tell me that I have to have a permission from the government, a license from the government to add a wall in my house and put a sink in the room? In other words, add a bathroom to my house. Why should I have to get permission from the government to do something in my own home? Or why would the government ban me from reading my Bible? That might happen here. It's happened in other countries. So the issue is freedom. I've got more to say about this particular issue. I'm just scratching the surface. You're listening to the Dean's List. I hope you'll come back. Stay tuned.
I just want to make sure I'm clear on this. You're in favor of having the government say to that photographer, if you will not take that pictures, we will hit you with enough fines to put you out of business and put you in the poorhouse. Are you okay with that?
Unfortunately, I am.
Wow. Michael, thank you very much. That's what First Amendment Friday is all about. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show.
Weekday evenings at 6 on Christian Talk 660 at 92.9.
Hello, this is Don Munson, voice of the Clemson Tigers, inviting you to join me on April the 28th at the Calvary Home for Children Thrive events in both Greenville and Anderson. Calvary Home is an outstanding ministry that cares for many displaced children in the upstate. Come on out April the 28th to catch the vision and support the children. Go to calvaryhome.org to register. That's calvaryhome.org.
STOA presents the National Invitational Tournament of Champions at Bob Jones University, May 16th through the 23rd. Homeschool students from across the USA will compete in Greenville at STOA's National Speech and Debate Tournament. But STOA needs community judges like you to make the event happen. No experience is needed. Training is provided. Please go to the website and register today. Go to stoausa.org. Again, that's stoausa.org.
Hey, yo. Every pizza chain claims to have the best pizza with the freshest ingredients. But Torelli's Pizza in the University Square Shopping Center, they've got the best pizza with the freshest ingredients. And they're locally owned. Check out their reviews on Yelp. A native New Yorker says, right texture and taste. Amount of sauce and cheese, perfect. So, next time you're looking for a yummy New York-style pizza, you need to go to Torelli's Pizza. Visit torellispizza.com for their daily specials.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. For more resources, including articles, books, and archived broadcasts, simply log on to trueworldview.net. Once again, here's your host for today's edition, Dr. Paul Dean.
All right, welcome back into the Dean's List. I've got Greg on the phone line. He wants to talk to us for just a minute. Greg, welcome into the Dean's List. Go ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Dean. My understanding is that the government is to reflect the interests of the citizenry,
mm-hmm.
and that you know, we as South Carolinians have an opportunity to express to our government the types of rules and values that we want expressed by their actions.
Mm-hmm.
It's a myth to say that values are not an expression of policies. Someone's values are being expressed one way or the other. In this case, the DMV has chosen to embrace the values of individuals who reject God's design for sexuality and male and female beings being different sexes given to us by God. And I think as South Carolinians, we have the right to dictate how we want the policies of our government. Unfortunately, our government is not acting in the interests of the citizenry, although we need to make them know that that we want them to act differently. And so I've personally contacted Frank Valenta, the general counsel for the South Carolina Department of Motor Vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly his role in this matter, but I assume that he was involved in the settlement with this transgender group. And I've let him know that I disagree with the decision to change the policy. And I would encourage all your listeners to contact Frank Valenta of the General Counsel Office of the Department of Motor Vehicles. And if you allow, I have got the phone number here for them to call.
Sure. Give the phone number.
That number is 803-896-9900. And I don't think that this is a time for us to keep our mouths shut, to just say, well, these decisions are outside of our control. We can't do anything about them. We need to get involved. We need to express our values. And if we do value God's word and a society in which God's truth is lived out, we need to speak out on issues so important as this one.
Mm. Well, Greg, I really appreciate your comment there, and I, of course, wholeheartedly respect your position, and you and I have talked before. I recognize your voice. It's good to hear from you, and hope we can meet again, and we certainly agree on a lot of things and have worked together in the gospel, and I appreciate that. I'm going to take a little different position from you, though, on this, and I'll do that probably the last portion of the broadcast. But may I ask you a question before you go?
Sure.
And it's not to be antagonistic, but just sort of to, you know, set up some things that I'd like to say. You know, if the government is there, in one sense, as you say, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but to reflect the values of the citizenry, is that how you put it? And if somebody's value system is going to be put in place and all that. What if Christians are no longer in the majority and you've got, you know, pagans in the majority and all of a sudden, you know, they decide to outlaw church or they decide to outlaw Bibles? I mean, you know, either we believe in freedom for everybody in the society or it's just going to come down to whatever the majority thinks. That's part of the issue that I have. With the position you've taken, not to be critical, just to say, okay, well, let's talk this through.
I appreciate you pointing that out. I agree with you that biblically speaking, we don't support a position that majority rules at any cost. Rather, the biblical worldview teaches us that government was instituted by God to restrain evil.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the role of government, not to do whatever the people want. So I agree with you there.
Okay.
Hopefully you can add to what I've just said. But
yeah.
I guess my point was just to say that in this democratic system, this republic that we have, as Christians, we do want the government to restrain evil, but also we have an opportunity to correct the government when it does not fulfill God's purposes for it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, I appreciate that. What I'm going to do, if it's all right with you, is let you go today, but ask you and invite you, let's talk about this again further. There'll be many other opportunities. I just want to have the last 6 or 7 minutes to sort of map out my position, if I could.
Thank you, brother.
All right, Greg, thank you. Appreciate the call. Appreciate Greg. I know he will call back, and maybe we'll talk even off air. You know, I think that there's a widespread notion. I mean, this crosses denominational lines, conservative and not conservative, you know, liberal and within Christianity. Most people, I would say, probably take the same view that Greg has outlined, that God has ordained government to restrain evil. I don't think the Bible teaches that. And let me tell you why. First off, we can't model government in a nation, you know, a Gentile nation, to use biblical terminology, a secular nation. We can't model government off of the government in Old Covenant Israel. That was a theocracy. God had chosen Israel, special people, and again, I know that's not where Greg's coming from. I'm just putting that on the table to get it out of the way. We just can't model government on Old Covenant Israel's government with God as the supreme ruler. God is the supreme ruler over all things, but we're talking about human government. Now, where most people go, and I'm sure where Greg would go, not to put words in his mouth, but this is where most theologians go, is Romans 13. You know, they say God has ordained government to restrain evil. Now, the reason I say I don't believe the Bible teaches that is because if you look at Romans 13, of course, Paul writing to the Romans, the church, the Christians in Rome, and the government in Rome at that particular time is Nero Caesar. And God did not ordain Nero Caesar to restrain evil. Nero Caesar is one of the most evil persons to ever walk the planet. He persecuted Christians without mercy. And you, most of you know the stories. I mean, he would light Christians on fire to provide light for his dinner parties. He'd wrap them in animal skins and let wild animals just chew them to pieces for entertainment. I mean, this guy was evil personified, and I could talk a lot more about Nero Caesar. Well, it's this evil, tyrannical despot that Paul says you need to submit to. Now, that doesn't mean you do everything he says, but he's basically saying submit. And he says in Romans 13 that God has ordained this authority, this evil despot. He's ordained government for your good. Now, again, most Christians interpret that, oh, for the good of society. Read it in context. It's not what he's saying. If you go back to Romans 8, God says that all things have been ordained for our good. He causes all things to work together for our good. And he defines good in the very next couple of verses as our sanctification. So everything in our lives God is using for the sanctification of his people. That is, he wants us to be more and more conformed to the image of Christ. And so when I go through suffering, if I go through persecution, for example, from the government, God is using that to make me more like Jesus. And so Paul says that that's why the government is there. And it says there in Romans 13, okay, if you don't want to be harassed by the government, if you don't want to be harassed by Nero Caesar, then do good, because he is God's minister or God's servant for your good and to punish evildoers, right? And if you do good, then he will reward you. Well, here's the problem. In that context, what Paul is saying is you need to keep your head down. You need to be a good citizen. You don't need to be a rabble-rouser, because Nero is the one in that particular society who has defined who a good citizen is versus who an evildoer is. And if you come across as an evildoer, then certainly Nero is going to punish you. And so keep your head down. Now, is he saying don't preach the gospel? No, not at all. He says preach the gospel, live a good life. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 2, where he says, be good citizens, put off your immorality, you know, that wars against your soul, and be a good citizen. Why? So that when those around you accuse you of being an evildoer, that ultimately they might see your good works and glorify God in the day of visitation. But see, Christians are going to be punished by the government and persecuted by the government and other people simply for being Christian. But God says, I don't want you to suffer, you know, for being stupid. No offense. So the point I'm making is when you look at Romans 13, good and evil in that text, it's not good and evil as defined by God. It's good and evil as defined by the government. So you don't want Nero to define you as an evil doer if you can help it. So then the question is, well, what is how do we know what the biblical role of government is? What do we want? Well, again, when you come to the new covenant, now most societies prior to the Lord Jesus coming into this world were almost all what we would call sacral societies. In other words, the government and the religion were tied together. And this is true in the Roman Empire, the Roman pantheon. It's true of all ancient societies, including Israel, theocratic Israel. But what you have when Jesus comes along and says, look, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And so now we have a kingdom within a kingdom. See, the kingdom of God has arrived. It's not been consummated, but it has been inaugurated. And so the people of God today, that's the church comprised of Jew and Gentile who believe in Jesus, you got the kingdom of God within, if I can use this language, the kingdom of America or the kingdoms of this world. So we are a people within a people. We're the church within America. So the question is, okay, well, what do we want American government to be? Do we want it to reflect our values? Well, in one broad sense, we don't want to impose Christian values or morals on people who aren't Christians. That's force. That's coercion. And God doesn't want us to do that. The golden rule, for example, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We don't want people to force us into their mold, and neither should we force them into our mold. That's not what God wants. Well, what value? Well, there's only one value. If you're going to live in a civil society, you know that people are sinners. So if you're going to live in a civil society, you have to be protected from sinners. And so the role of government is merely that, to protect us from one another, to keep us from killing each other and stealing from one another and assaulting one another. But all these other things that people think the government ought to be doing, not according to the New Testament, not according to biblical principles, not according to the Scriptures, and that's what I'm trying to articulate. And you say, well, somebody's values, look, not there are some things that have moral implications, so they're moral values, but they're moral and civil. The question is, the issue that we're talking about, moral only or moral and civil? So, obviously, we'll have to talk about that next time. I've run myself right out of time. You've been listening to The Dean's List. We'll carry on next week. Thanks for joining me.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net. where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Join us each week at 11:30 on Friday and Saturday, and noon on Sunday for The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.